never talk about it again.
Never.
It's the Rick Emerson radio program live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Don't forget, we're going to be at Dante's tonight downtown, 3rd and Burnside, for Storm on Rockstar Supernova, where apparently it's going to be stress-inducing and terrible to watch. And that's only based on... Now, let me ask you this. In your estimation, because all we know about Rockstar Supernova tonight is what Storm, or all I know, is what Storm said yesterday in the program, which is that she gets spanked really badly.
Yeah, if you watch the webisode, you'll know exactly what's going on.
All right. Well, so let me ask you this. In your estimation, is it going to be better for me and for others who are, you know, because we're all obviously very emotionally, we've all got all this emotional investment in the show now. And when Storm does great, you know, we're all like, yeah, Storm! And if anything goes badly, you know, we're all, it's just going to be depressing. And especially,
I think it would be better to know, Rick, is like the truth.
Here's the thing is, I can't even imagine, because that crowd at Dante's gets so into it and riled up and liquored up. You know, and when the great moments are great, the crowd is just so loud and into it and raucous and whatever. And, I mean, if it all goes badly tonight, it's just going to be ugly. It's going to be an unpleasant scene. So in your estimation, is it better for me to know in advance what happens with Storm tonight, what she sings, and why the reaction is so bad?
I would think so.
All right, so maybe we'll give a little, do you want a little spoiler warning here, and then you can explain it. You have to pick that piece of lint off of your shirt. It's driving me crazy.
Where?
It's by your right shoulder. Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God, that's like the smallest little fuzzball I've ever seen.
Seriously, no, it was like I couldn't focus on anything. There was a tiny little piece of white lint on Sarah's right shoulder, and it was just driving me crazy. Okay. It was just driving me utterly bonkers. It was a struggle to get every word out just now.
Okay. Everything's going to be fine.
I was going all Howard Hughes on you. anyway.
What late night movie would you like to watch?
I'll need you to wear these gloves. Anywho. All right. Well, let's give a little warning here. We will give a 10, and then Sarah will reveal what happens on tonight's Rockstar Supernova and why it all goes so badly.
Okay, spoiler, turn off your radio if you don't want to know what Storm's singing.
For how long?
Or the reaction.
I would say for 2 minutes.
Okay, starting now.
Into 5, 4, spoiler ahead, 3, 2, spoiler, 1.
Click.
All right. So, okay. So tonight, Storm, Rockstar Supernova.
All right. So I guess they all did their song selection. She, of course, she wasn't aggressive like you were talking before.
She didn't push for it.
She didn't push for anything. So she got stuck with Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive.
Oh, it burns!
And they showed her rehearsing, and the webisode had a lot to do with her and about how she was really having trouble with the rearrangement of it.
Because it's the wrong song for her to sing.
But they...
You're kidding me. Really?
Yeah. Well, not that she's personally doing bad. It's just like they want her to change up the song. And
here's what I don't understand about that program. And this is Tom the Corpse actually emailed this. I didn't have time to ask her. I want to know. It seems a little BS. It seems, as G. Gordon Liddy would say, to be a little Bravo Sierra, that the band so often criticizes their song choices. Like, why would you do such a sissy song? With the song, like, who chooses those 15 songs for them, or whatever it is now, 10 songs? Obviously, the contestants fight over the songs that are there. I want to know who chooses the songs that they have to select from.
They're from the Playtone catalog.
From the Playtone Galaxy of Stars.
Yes.
You record that thing you do in Spanish. You record these songs from the Playtone catalog. Now, you will get one cut on each song, but I don't want any of this lovelorn crap. Something poppy, something snappy. I love that movie. Well done, Tim Riley.
I try.
Jimmy is the talent.
Okay, gotta stop.
Anyway, but who picks those songs from the Playtone catalog that they have to select from? That's what I want to know, because that is the rub, as I see it. Because here's the thing. Scotty is saying that the funny part is the Supernova guys ask why she picked it when apparently it was all that was left. So, it seems like you are being set up to fail if 4 of the 10 songs are crap. That's, you know, the whole thing just pisses me off.
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Exactly. Like, how are you supposed
to... Make it with you from bread?
As Jack Lemmon would say about the leads, and how are they supposed to rise above that, John, with this toilet paper you're giving me? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Kristen from accounting, who joins us now to give her thoughts on Rockstar Supernova. Kristen, hello.
Driving me crazy.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, you know what Sarah was just talking about, the whole webisode.
Yeah.
Which I have not watched.
Well, and you know what's the harshest part is, you know, for a change, Storm gets like this long attention.
She did. She was like the main focus on there.
Yeah, and it's Paul, the band leader, saying, you know, she's really, he didn't say anything badly about her. He's like, you know, she's really struggling this one with this one, and this is the first time we've really seen her not sure what to do with something. And it's like, oh, and you want to, like, jump in there and help her, but there's nothing you...
What are you supposed to do with Gloria Gaynor's... You can't do it as an opera. What are you supposed...
The thing is, it's acoustic.
It makes me
acoustic-y
angry.
Night.
Oh, is
they're
tonight
all...
Unplugged Week?
Yeah.
You're doubly screwed. How are you supposed to do that song unplugged?
Exactly. And what I want to know, too, is... This might be a good question for her next week, is... They don't really show much of the song selection process.
Right.
All they show is Delana, you know, wanting to do the song with Gilby Clark again.
Yeah, how much less do you like Delana after seeing that episode?
What Sarah was talking about earlier with the when they were in Las Vegas and she gets Tommy Lee aside and she's like, "I'm the only person you need. You can send people home."
Oh.
And after she called them idiots the week before, too.
Yes.
Okay, I might as well just ask at this point, what does Delana sing? Do we know?
I don't know. Wait, what was she fighting over, Kristen?
But she gave up Toby. You know, Toby's doing the song with Gilby, and she's... I can't remember now.
I can't remember either.
It is everyone's dream to play with Gilby Clark.
And one of them gets to sing one of their own original songs, and guess who it is, Rick?
It's Lucas.
No.
It's Delana?
No.
Wait, it's Zaira, isn't
yes.
it? Oh, God!
But you know what's funny?
Oh, the pain.
You know what's funny? Sarah, I don't know if they showed a little part of Zaira doing her song with the house band.
It's probably not bad.
It was in Spanish, wasn't it?
It's probably not terrible.
It's in Spanish, but it doesn't sound too bad.
Well, because I have no doubt that she's good at whatever it is that she does. It's just one of those things that isn't singing like a Metallica song.
Well, what's so annoying is listening to Delana argue with everyone how she wanted to do another song with Gilby, and she was just whining. She's like, "Nope, I want to do it." After she just did it last week.
Somebody needs a beating.
But then Storm also, they had a little thing with Storm where she said, "I think it was just Delana, you know, screwing with him."
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm all stressed out.
And
about
you know, just as if you didn't have enough to get stressed out about, what drives me crazy is, okay, they like it when people, like, change things up and do something different to show they're stepping out of the box.
Sure.
But every time somebody, the only person they've ever congratulated for that has been Delana doing Ring of Fire.
Right.
Now
right.
Apparently they're going to, you know, ream Storm because she took something that's terrible and probably did something, you know, different with it, and they're still reaming her for that.
Well, yeah, what they've said is too is that the audience just loved it, and that all of the, every single one of the guys from Supernova, and of course, you know, Douchey Dave Navarro, all didn't like it.
Did you really just say that?
And
that's fantastic.
Well, and the audience booed them.
Well done.
They were making the comment.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's going to be a whole big unsettling evening.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Let's get there early and start drinking.
Everybody there who's already drunk and looking for a fight. And as soon as the judges start, from what I have heard, though, she apparently takes it like a man, though. They give it to her, and apparently she takes all the hits from the judges and doesn't back down, doesn't give an inch.
Well, it is Storm.
It is true.
That's our girl.
All right. We'll see you tonight, Kristen.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
All right. Thank you. There you
go. Hey, Chris. Oh, let's see what time she's getting there.
Well, she's on line one if you want to talk.
Okay.
Brad, hello, sir.
Hey there. Yeah, I was just going to chime in that it's funny in all the pathetic blogs that we all read.
Such
a
losers.
Lot of people are saying, you know what, we're defending her, we're going to vote for her. We didn't vote for her before, but we're coming in. So I think she's cool.
I think so, because here the thing to think about it is, here's the reason why not to worry about it too terribly, is that when you think about the people who end up in the bottom three, you can't vote against people as such. In other words, there's no line to, like, have, you know, see Zaira die in a fire, press one, because I would be calling that constantly. The thing is, when Zaira ends up in the bottom three, it's a reflection of the fact that so many people vote for Storm and Lucas, etc. So that's a little something. The fact that she has never ended up in the bottom three indicates that a lot of people are voting for her. You know what I mean?
Yep. So there's actually kind of the conspiracy thread that we'll have to talk a lot about tonight, that Mark Burnett is setting her up so she can do poorly and then come back and excel in the next week. Like that.
I don't believe in the voting. I refused to vote last week, at least on my cell phone.
That's the spirit.
I'm serious, though, because Zaire should have ended up in the bottom three, and you know that they're just keeping her, so obviously someone's manipulating the votes. But nobody was voting.
It's Diebold. I know what Delano...
That's how we end up with Bush in the White House for 2 terms.
I know what Delano sings. Who wants to know?
I do.
Brad?
I know.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Delano sings... Is Delano sings Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, God.
Which is... But I mean,
can hear her low man gravelly voice of that.
I can hear her transvestite man Coulter voice. But here's the thing about that song. That song has got a... She has an unfair advantage anyway because every idiot with a kid who watches that is so true. Oh, the poignant irony. You know, and then they...
Well, that's an old Harry Chapin song.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish he would have chose W-O-L-D.
Yes, W... I wish they would have sung... Oh, God, what is that song? Taxi?
Oh, yeah, Taxi.
Taxi. Tim and I are so old. All right, thank you, Brad.
Hey. Yeah.
All right, there you go.
He agrees.
I guess it. No, I mean, D.
Is that the depressing one?
Yeah.
The radio station.
Playing old songs for you, wherever you may be.
Ended up in Boise, Idaho.
You know what I have? You know what I found the other day at a thrift store? I found a 45 that has the WKRP in Cincinnati theme song, but it's like a weird 5-minute version with all these extra verses that I've never heard before. Did you even know that existed?
No.
I'll bring it in and play it. It's fantastic.
That must be the dance version.
It's all the... Yes, it's the house mix.
Play it.
It's all the... Yes, it's got bagpipes and like a horse whinnying in the background for no reason. It's no, it's got all the lyrics you know about like packing and unpacking. It's got that. And then it's got a whole bunch of like, you know... I'm a guy living on a, you know, steamship. You know, it's just a whole bunch of lyrics that don't, that you've never heard. What I'm unable to find, though, is the closing song by Max Tash, the closing theme song to WKRP.
Oh, yeah, that is harder to find.
Which is a legendary song. Yeah. That's legendary for having no lyrics. It's all just gibberish. All right. Let's see. I'll just read this one email. Rick, as far as Storm not fighting hard enough, it's because she said a few times she can kill anything so she never worries about it. But judging from the reality show, says this email, Storm is very, very concerned and freaking out about it this week like she never has before.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Yeah, they actually close with her working on her song. That's how they end the webisode, yeah.
Oh, with her working on an original or the practicing Gloria Gaynor?
Practicing Gloria Gaynor. And
I see. That's they're doing it. They're ending it on the cliffhanger.
And she plays fifth. First things best tonight.
All right. Well, let's see. It's 15 after. We got to the City Desk, top five, and this Donna Mike thing. Sarah, you make the call.
Let's do Donna Mike in the break and then come back at the City Desk.
All right. It's going
to
be...
I got to run to feed the meter in the meantime.
You have to make Scotty do it. You have to be here for the Donna Mike thing.
Okay.
Wait, no, hold on. Let me find the...
And don't feel guilty.
No, don't feel guilty.
He's going to have to use my ATM.
Wait.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
And he arrives. It's genius. Scotty J.
You're giving me a thumbs down.
Because of
what you said.
What did I say? What did we say?
Guilty about it. You should.
I don't. I was an intern at one point, too. I had to do a bunch
of stuff. We all used to be where you were.
You know, my legs
are... We were happy to have that job.
My legs are a lot older. I can't get down there to feed the meter as quickly
Tim's
as
only
guys.
37. all right, so you have to go feed the meter for Tim while we play this.
Okay, no
all
problem.
Right, fantastic.
I'm sorry for offending you, Scotty.
I'm okay now.
I'm not. I think somebody needs to remember his place. That's what I'm...
He scares me because he's so much older than me.
You're going to get calf implants, too? All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Oh. All right. That was a...
Are you giving him your PIN number?
You don't need a PIN number.
Oh, okay. Are you writing down a location in the car?
Yes. Let's see. I don't know what the name of the street is out here.
Well, he can just wander blindly until he finds it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to have to look outside.
Should we turn off your microphone?
No, this is fascinating.
No, I'm going to have to go look outside. I don't know what the name of the street is.
Which one? Are you the Quizno Street?
No. It's the one in front of here.
Okay.
Up toward the gym...
So that way.
24-hour fitness.
Okay, so that's like
There, that's Columbia. So you'll go up Columbia to 4th.
Yeah, up Columbia to 4th.
It's on the far side.
Okay.
Please now to stalk Scotty J as he wanders towards Tim's car.
Let's see, so by not more than an hour.
I'll be back in an hour.
Yeah, and you have to put it inside the window of the passenger side.
I have to
No, I know.
You have to put the parking sticker inside the car so that somebody doesn't steal it.
Not more than that.
All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Thanks, Scotty.
And it's like right across 4th. It's like the second car on that street.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye now.
I hope he finds it.
All right. There you go. There's Scotty.
He found mine.
The meter runs out at 2:30.
No, he's got to 11 minutes. We'll call him in 11 minutes and see if he's found it yet. All right. So here's a little backstory on this. So I had asked my contact at Westwood One, which is the network that airs the Don and Mike show, our general sales manager, Dean Snyder, had asked me to have some internal sales liners cut by various talent on the show, or on the station, rather, for instance, like Tom Likas and so forth, because they were doing some special sales, and they were really trying to get the salespeople, what is the word, pumped up or amped up or something?
Yeah.
They were trying to get the salespeople all excited about selling the station. And so they said, well, could you have some of the talent cut some liners? And when I say internal liners, you've heard those like, you know, like, this is Stephanie Miller, and you're listening to AM 970, or, you know, whatever. This would be a thing that never aired. It would be a thing that literally they would just send out in the email to the sales department. So the salespeople would come in on a Monday, and they would open their email box, and there would be an email with a, and we did, Likas did one, actually, that I should play, where it's like, hey, this is Tom Likas, just thanking all the AM 970 salespeople for kicking ass. Go sell. Be closing. Thank you. It never played on the air. It was kind of cool, actually. It was just it was a little blurb recorded and voiced by Tom that he sent to us that then they sent out to all the salespeople here to sort of whip them into a selling frenzy. So we asked Don and Mike to do this. And then this is what we got in return. And this was sent to us by our good friend Sue Falco at Westwood One.
This email says, hello, Don and Mike. Rob, actually, I just get the attachment. It's hi, Don and Mike, parentheses, Rob.
Uh-huh.
Just got an email from your new station in Portland, Oregon, KCMD. Uh-huh. Started the show the Monday that you were on vacation. PD loves the show. Here's an email from the program director to Western
News.
It's been a while since I worked with these guys.
Uh-oh.
I guess we've been on the station before. Are they ever open to doing special internal liners, such as things motivating the sales staff to really go out and sell the show? I've had some interest in that from my general sales manager. Can you check into that for me so I can get back to the station? Thank you, Sue Falco, and she's with Westwood One, our network.
Yeah.
So anyway, I called Rob and I said, well, now why should we do something off the air? We can do it on the air.
That's right.
So let's roll tape right now.
This is to motivate the sales staff?
Right, at KCMD. In Portland, Oregon.
You guys invented motivation.
Now, Mike, I'm going to just take a page out of the Alan Goodman book.
Okay.
Perhaps the greatest salesman that Mike and I have ever had the pleasure of working with.
Master pitchman.
And the originator of Sell Me This Pencil.
Sell Me This Pencil. That was his interview technique to garner some of the finest advertising executives in the business.
Let me just say, I'm sure that I will have a different tack than Mike does.
Mm-hmm.
Mine involves a real life story, including myself, Mike, Alan Goodman, and a woman named Laura Torres.
God bless her.
So, this would be closed circuit from me, Don, to you, the sales staff, at radio station KC... Oh, boy. The glasses. KCMD, Portland, Oregon. Rolling in 3, 2, 1. Where's the effing money? Where's the effing money? Laura, Don and Mike did the commercial. Where's the effing money? Don't cry. Where's the effing money?
We were in the office when that actually happened.
Where's the effing money?
It was terrifying.
I don't care if you have to pay it out of your pocket. Where's the effing money?
All right. No, it continues here. This is now where Mike takes his turn. This is an inspirational message from Don and Mike to the sales staff of AM 970.
That is my message to the sales staff.
Okay.
Where's the effing money?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, listen. Seriously, sales staff. What kind of a sales staff are you that you need to have a disc jockey motivate you?
Right.
Mike and I have a great show. Go out and sell it. My question to you, very simple. Where's the effing money?
What is the name of the radio station again?
KCMD.
Right. KCMD.
Portland. Here's Mike.
Hello, sales staff of KCMD. This is Mike O'Mara of the Don and Mike Show. My advice to all of you, something you don't see in sales circles enough as far as I'm concerned, loud colors. That's right. If you want to sell and sell big time, you put yourself into a loud, obnoxious outfit. I'm talking about great traditional outfits like loud shirts, wide ties, white belts, and shoes. Get out there, hit the street, and wear the loudest, most obnoxious color scheme you can possibly find, and that'll result in your bottom line going up each and every day. Thank you. And, thank you in advance.
Now, really, with me, this one would be serious. Roll, please. 3, 2, 1. I'd like to speak just to the ladies selling our show on KCMD in Portland, Oregon.
If there are any.
And if not, to the men. Listen, be it female or male, you're right, Mike. If you're in there pitching this show and they can't make the rate card, they can't pay what you're offering, you know how you even it out? You know how you get that full service price?
Tell them, Bob.
Full service.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Ladies, sleep with your clients.
And if there happens to be more men than women on the KCMD sales staff, hey, fellas, they sell mouthwash, don't they?
Or, you know, seek out female advertisers. You know, there are a few. The female-owned businesses. Go in there.
But
be a gigolo.
But it's so much easier for a woman.
Of course. Yes.
It's so much easier for a woman to go in and sell herself as part of the advertising package that comes with buying time on the Don and Mike show.
You walk into the office of the car dealership.
This is what they wanted, I'm sure.
Two or three buttons suddenly just come undone.
That's right, girls.
And you show a lot of leg.
Is that so much to ask?
How about NBTs? No Bra Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Or how about that old radio station favorite, No Panty Fridays?
Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting technique for the salespeople that I'd like to throw in here. What you do is you really...
Rent basic instinct.
You really overserve the clients. You really overserve the clients by taking them away, taking them out on a weekend, and then getting them so loaded that they don't remember what they've done. Take some compromising pictures, and that client is yours forever. Thank you.
On the other hand...
All techniques that have been used by salespeople we've known.
All techniques into one. On the other hand, let me just say that if you're out there, there is nothing that you're going to find more handy, pun intended, than the small pocket or purse size little tube of lotion.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people you have dry skin.
Right.
Tell people that you have... what's the thing where you get splotches?
Psoriasis.
Thank you. Whatever the reason, be known. Be known as the lady who's always got the lotion.
Give your clients a hand.
You get what I'm saying?
Give your clients a hand, and they'll tell you, good job.
You'll go back and say to the general manager, I sold my advertising today on the Don and Mike show.
Mm-hmm. Right, and they'll say, how did you do it? And you'll say, well, you might say I was a bit of a jerk. Thank you.
This is the inspirational sales letter.
Does it ever end?
No, it's like another 90 seconds here. Sent to us by the Don and Mike show.
The 108.
Oh, that's me. That's all my fault there. Let's see. Last
girls, women. Let's say there's a little boutique in town in Portland. You walk in behind the counter. My gosh, doesn't the woman who owns this little bed, breakfast, and bath boutique, doesn't she look just as cute as Katie Holmes?
Mm-hmm.
Now say, sales lady. What would be so wrong about tonguing her? What would be so wrong about giving her a little tickle, right? If that's going to close the deal,
you
right.
have to be prepared for any sexuality.
Mm-hmm. And dogs.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And dogs and peanut butter.
Clients, mm-hmm. dogs, yes.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So anyway, that's all I've got for you.
I call it commitment. That's what it is. It's commitment to the
I call dog. It being a pro.
So now we look for record profits at that radio.
There you go. Now you and I can sit back really and put our feet up because our job is done. We have just made countless millions for this radio station.
And one other thing, yes. Based on the fact that they have asked us to motivate the sales staff, unfortunately the sales manager should be fired. If that's necessary, you need to fire your sales manager.
Amen. Yeah. Nothing truer has been said on today's show.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, people.
Hi there. Last call. How's it?
Hi. Hi. I was just looking at KCMD's website.
Yes.
And, Don, you hit the nail with your head, man. They've got seven female account executives listed on their contact the sales department page, including the local sales manager.
Do they have pictures?
No pictures.
Well, that, we got to fix that right away.
Start there.
That's how you start. We're always glad to help. And why don't we send a copy of this to the network so the network knows how committed we are, as a matter of fact.
It will happen.
Right. Because let's be honest, KCMD, how do you think Mike and I got this job on this network?
The O Brothers.
All right. Thank you, Portland, Oregon, and you're welcome. I know that you want to call and say thank you. We'll just say you're welcome.
Yes. Send us some candy.
All right. There you go. There's an inspirational message from the Donna Mike Show. Rival to Donna Mike, 7 to 11, weeknights, immediately following Tom Likas. It's 503-733-2970. We come back, more from the City Desk, and an interview with David Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Now, Harley took a left by my hand. She said, Lonesome George, you don't understand. The night was dark and the sky was blue. Down the
It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Hey, you know what I got? We don't have time to do it today. But I got that Borderline Baby. Because we lost it. We lost our copy of Borderline Baby by Benjamin. So we got to, sometime this week, we'll do that. Tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, we'll do Rockstar Recap. And Jen Lane will be here as well. All right, coming up here in a few, we'll do more of the City Desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. All right, without further ado, now I'm not going to pretend that this is new. I will not in any way pretend that this is a...
Well, it's just from yesterday.
Well,
right?
It is. Well, it's from this morning, but I guess I'm not going to pretend that it's live. This is, let me see if I can cue it up here. This is an interview that we pre-taped this morning, and normally
hey,
I don't.
Welcome to the.
There they go. Normally I hate to pre-tape things, but there was just no other way to do it because the interview was like at 8 o'clock this morning.
And Larry King does it all the time.
Because the guy couldn't make it in today, as you know, the guy couldn't make it on the phone live because this David Ellis, who directed Snakes on a Plane, he did, by the time we talked this morning at 8 o'clock, he'd already done like 14 other interviews or something. It was crazy. And so, as much as I don't typically like to do it, we pre-taped this interview. So what you're going to hear now is the sound of myself along with Aaron Duran and Scott Daly from Geek in the City and Film Fever Radio, interviewing David Ellis, who is the director of Snakes on a Plane. You're going to hear us trying to sound awake and alert and really interested, which we were. We were just all like really tired and uncaffeinated. So without further ado, this is, David Ellis on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hey there, we want to welcome to the Rick Emerson Show the director of the greatest film of all time, a film that will change the paradigm of all cinematic experience from here until the end of existence. Ladies and gentlemen, along with Aaron Duran and Scott Daly here, we want to welcome to the Rick Emerson Show David Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane.
Hey guys, what's up?
How are you, sir?
I'm awesome. Thanks so much.
So did you have any idea, any concept when you signed on the line that was dotted that this movie was going to become this movie?
Oh, absolutely. I knew it'd be the best film ever.
That's the right answer. That's the answer we want to hear.
I mean, I knew that all other films would, you know, just not have a chance.
They would all pale in comparison. I'd actually heard a couple films had been bumped back when they realized the actual release date of Snakes on a Plane. I know that originally Clerks 2 was coming out the same weekend as Snakes on a Plane, and, you know, they wisely pulled away from that one. So I just think your film's going to whoop on every single...
Well, they were smart. They have no snakes.
Now, this, let me ask you this. You hear this so much in Hollywood where they talk about a franchise, and they have, before they finish the first one, they've already got the Aquaman 2 and 5 and 7 already. Is there any talk about snakes on a train, snakes on a hang glider, snakes on a whatever, or is that just a lot of fanboy wanking?
I think that's all the internet stuff. I mean, I think it's really cool that we have something new and fresh and unique and something that nobody's done before. If they can come up with a really cool concept, then maybe you would see it. I would rather just do the parody of our film. Because I think it could be a really funny film as well as, because we take ourselves more seriously with Snakes on a Plane, but you know, Hollywood's a money machine, so it's all about making money. So that, you know, they always kind of sell out to whatever's going to make them money. But as far as me being involved in Sam, it would have to be a really, really great concept for us to do it.
We're talking to David Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane. Scott,
I think that the fact that this is
hopefully will be a standalone picture. You know, cause it, far too often great films get ruined by franchises.
Totally.
And I think having Snakes on a Plane just standalone by itself, that's all you need. I think that's perfectly appropriate.
We talked a lot about the notion of a B movie and how B movies really don't get the respect they deserve, and it's been a long time since there was a great one. Do you picture this? And we mean this as a term of endearment, but do you picture this as a great big B movie in the tradition of the classics, or do you view it as a regular huge big budget motion picture?
That's a hard question, because I think it's going to be, you know, it is, the concept lends itself to be kind of a B movie, because we're not making a big political statement, we're not being loyal to a book or a series. But I think it's going to surprise a lot of people on about how good it is and how much fun they're going to have seeing this movie. But I don't care if they say it's a B, C, D, whatever movie, as long as people go see it, have a blast. You know, we're going to scare them. They're going to laugh. They're going to clap at the end. They're not going to believe some of the stuff that we're doing with the snakes attacking people, the stuff they've never, ever seen before. So whatever they want to call it is cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've there's nobody that I've spoken to that isn't excited to see this film. I mean, I know that, you know, I bought my tickets. I think I bought my tickets for Snakes in a Plane sooner than I bought, you know, for Star Wars or Batman. I was there, and I remember when I bought the tickets, you know, like 3 weeks ago, the poor woman at the counter just kind of sighed. She says, yes, you can buy them. Please quit asking me. Just buy them already. So I think New Line and everybody is going to be really happy with the turnout of Snakes on a Plane.
So I have to ask, what was it like working with the snakes?
It was cool. I mean, we had 500 snakes, and we had snakes that every different kind of snake. But it's hard. They're really hard to direct. I mean,
they don't take direction very well.
They don't take direction at all.
We're talking with Dave Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane, which, of course, comes out Thursday, August 17th. Well, come more, and I know that you are busy talking to everybody in the world about this. My question is, we hear so much about the Internet and how that played a huge part in what you decided to go back and reshoot or add or alter. And let's talk for a second about the line, which is not been in any of the trailers, but which everybody knows about, which is Sam Jackson, I believe I'm getting this right, the I have had it with these MFing snakes on this MFing plane.
Yeah, totally.
Did that come straight off the message board, straight off the Internet? How did that line come to be in the movie?
It came off the Internet, definitely, and we tweaked it a little bit, but it's pretty much what they wanted to hear. And we went back initially to Sam and I wanted to make an R-rated film in the beginning, and that's what we signed on for. And then they decided they wanted a PG-13 movie, which we made and we showed them. And then they realized that we had to cut away from all the snake attacks and to tone down the language, and that going to deliver the film that the Internet really wanted to see. So they allowed me to go back and pump it up for an R rating. At the same time, we had the unique opportunity to include some stuff that the fans really wanted to see. And you have to listen to your fans. I have no ego about ownership on the film. And I wanted to give them exactly what they wanted to see.
What is what's next for David Ellis after Snakes on a Plane? I mean, I know it's hard to top.
Oh, no. We're prepping right now a film called Asylum that's going to start shooting in South Carolina on September 18th, and it's a teenage kind of horror film that we're going to go do real quickly. That's fun. It's got a really cool young ensemble cast. And then we're looking next year at some, you know, real big budget kind of action films, which is stuff that I love to do.
Fantastic. One more quick question, David.
Sure.
Obviously, the way this film is being marketed with all the buzz of the Internet, going back to do some reshoots to give the fans what they wanted, do you kind of see this as a new way of marketing films? I mean, obviously, the latest Merchant Ivory film can't be marketed this way, but, I mean, you know, something like another film like Snakes in the Plane, is that something you think that could change the direction of marketing for films?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it depends on the film, but for this kind of really fun popcorn movie that you're giving to the fans, I think absolutely the studios are seeing what's happened with this film, and they've learned a lot from it. There's a huge article in the LA Times front page of the calendar today in regards to it, and by Patrick Goldstein. It's a really good article about how it is going to change the way that the studios look at marketing these kinds of films.
All right. David Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane, for the last remaining holdouts in this country, what should they expect when they walk in Thursday? Why should they go see this film?
They should go see this film to have fun and escape all the other stuff that's going on in the world.
You are a man after our own heart. David Ellis, director of Snakes on an MF'n Plane. Sir, thank you so much. Best of luck and congratulations on what is already a huge success.
Hey, thanks, you guys.
Thank
awesome
you.
Call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. David Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane, ladies and gentlemen. So we want to thank Aaron Duran at GeekInTheCity.com and Scott Daly at FilmFeverRadio.com for hooking that up with us. Let's take a break. Oh, I got to play the Week in Geek. Do I have time here? Week in Geek, then we'll come back and do a little news?
Yeah.
Sure. We'll make it work. Ladies and gentlemen, back after this with more from Tim Riley. Without further ado, the Week in Geek.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents the Week in Geek.
Greetings, programs. This is Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com with another fantastically nerdy edition of the Week in Geek.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
Do you think you have what it takes to be the spokesperson for the William Shatner DVD Club? If so, visit shatner.blip.tv, upload your 90-second clip, and see if Bill, that's Mr. Shatner to you, deemed you worthy enough to be the face, nay, the very life force, of the William Shatner DVD Club for 2007. And will I, your friendly neighborhood geek, be entering? My phaser's set to frag.
I'm a doctor, not an engineer.
Express Entertainment, an independent film company in Canada, will be filming a feature-length Star Wars fan film entitled Secrets of the Rebellion. The film will take place mere days before Episode 4, A New Hope. One wonders how long it will take George Lucas and the rest of Lucasfilm to sue Express Entertainment when their fan film is light years better than anything Lucas has produced in the last 20 years.
No, I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
And finally, on Wednesday, August 16th and Thursday, August 17th, you can check a screening of all the Portland entrants in the 48-hour film festival. The doors open at 7 p.m. and tickets are only $6. You can find out more at 48hourfilm.com/Portland, Oregon. This has been Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com, where you can find out why the Mirror Universe is sexier than our own.
The Week in Geek, only from the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
The saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget to join us tomorrow when we will begin giving away the tickets for Snakes on a Plane. And then we will be there Thursday night, 10 p.m. Century 16 Eastport, along with Court and Fatboy from KUFO. So starting tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll be giving away Snakes on a Plane tickets. Also, Rockstar Recap tomorrow, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. And we'll go to the City Desk here in a moment to wrap up a few of the remaining stories before we do everything else. I should read a couple of these. Let's see. This is from Aaron Geek in the City through Scotty J. Scotty J, don't feel bad about no one remembering your birthday. As Kristen pointed out, Rick is terrible with birthdays. He forgot my 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. Wait, no, I take that back. Joni emailed Rick once and got him to play a birthday song for me a week after the birthday. Just deal with it. Rick isn't actually human or normal in any real way. P.S. Burt Reynolds did pose nude in Playgirl. I've seen it. It was during the Sharkies era. All right. And then we've got John Davison emails. Rick, isn't John Davison dead? I thought we were talking about John Davison and whether he posed for Playboy in the Altogether. I thought he died several years ago from either an operation or a bad heart. In any event, the old ladies liked him because he was perky, had dimples, sang show tunes, and was a former host of Hollywood Squares. Here's why I'm almost convinced, and I don't really care all that much, but I'm almost convinced that John Davison of... was it That's Incredible?
Yes.
You know who I get confused? I get that show confused with Real People a lot. Everybody from that show's dead. Sarah Purcell, Skip Stevenson, and that other guy.
Skip Stevenson is dead?
Skip Stevenson is completely dead.
What happened?
He died.
Of what?
Death. I don't know. Who knows? Who would possibly know what Skip Stevenson died of?
Dead or alive.
You and I and one other person out there somewhere know Skip Stevenson. And that's it. There is no one.
A lot of people knew who Mike Douglas was.
That is true. Okay, in the remaining
probably
moments.
Probably more famous than Skip Stevenson.
In the remaining moments, if you know what Skip Stevenson died of, you let us know. But here's why I'm almost certain that John Davidson is dead, while at the same time not really caring, because he seems like one of those guys that couldn't possibly exist in any era but the 70s. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't really seem possible. He's like, what's his name? Mr. Brady. Mike Reed, that his name? Mr. Brady?
No, that was Robert Reed.
Robert Reed.
Yeah.
I don't know who Mike Reed is. Robert Reed doesn't seem like a guy that could really exist in 2006. He seems permanently trapped in the 70s and quite possibly the first half of the 80s. He almost has to be dead because he just can't exist outside of that bad feathered hair era. See also John Davidson. How about this?
There is no response to the Skip Stevenson question.
Wait. That person right there probably knows about Skip Stevenson. It took probably 2 or 3 minutes. People even remember who it is. Let's see. A few weeks after 9/11, I was thoroughly sick of the news. At the top and bottom of every hour, this email says, when most AM stations would air the same old depressing stuff, I would start surfing the ether. Then one day, this email says, one day, I heard a newsman like no other.
Kitty Curry.
Yes. His broadcasts were sharp and witty. He made the news fun to hear. And this news person's little sidekick wasn't bad either. Tim Riley is why my radio stopped at 1080 a.m. and how I discovered the glory that is the Rick Emerson Show. I have followed you both around the dial ever since. Congratulations, this email says, on 5 years together. I've loved them all. Hope for many more. John in North Portland, effing Oregon. P.S. Sarah's awesome, too.
Oh, thank you, John.
So there you go. I put this little. So it is. Yes, we have noted. It is that 5 years ago this week, actually Sunday. But 5 years ago Sunday,
yes.
Tim Riley and I did our very first newscast together. So it has been 5 years that Tim and I have been doing this program. So here's to another five and blah, 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 blah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's see. Cullen, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Hey, I'm pretty sure John Davidson's still kicking out there.
Oh, see, so this is how it is. It's just when we thought we know something, and now we find out we don't know anything at all. What are you basing that on?
Yeah.
What are you basing that on, though?
Well, I was watching a True Hollywood Story the other day about the
on John Davidson?
No, the Hollywood Squares, and they had a little blurb with him on there, looking all pulled back and very rubbery and that's really
looking
dark.
Very rubbery. Well,
scary.
But I mean, those E! True Hollywood Stories, it's like footage there from 20 years ago. You can't put any trust in that unless it's date stamped. There's no way.
That's undoubtedly him looking, trying to look young, but obviously very old. I'm pretty sure it's 2006.
Now we have to know. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. Let's do one more here. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Dead 70s guy, Bert Convy.
Bert Convy. Bert Convy dead?
Yeah.
Tim Riley?
Yep.
He does seem like another guy that could only exist in the 70s.
Game shows and on the Love Boat. That was pretty much his gig.
Bert Convy. I forgot that guy ever existed. Well done, sir.
I'm not sure how. I think he was a bot of some sort.
What about Jamie Farr? He's another guy that could only exist in the 70s. He's still alive, though. All right. Thank you, John.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's quickly go to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting. A Holyoke, Massachusetts man recovering from a stab wound during a domestic dispute. Police said Yacina Ortiz was badly beaten by Victor True Sunday night in their apartment. When officers arrived at the scene, they saw visible bruises and a bloody lip on the woman. Holyoke Police Chief Anthony Scott described what happened when Ortiz tried to defend herself. She grabbed a knife and stabbed him in the winky. At that time, he decided it was time to leave.
Did you really say that?
That's exactly what it says. That is the description for the police chief of Holyoke, Massachusetts.
There are sophisticated people in Massachusetts.
She grabbed a knife and stabbed him in the winky. At that time, he decided it was time to leave.
Is that near his woo-woo?
I guess it was.
In the winky. Winky dinky dog.
Meanwhile, a nurse who helped inject hundreds of patients with an illegal animal toxin instead of Botox has been sentenced to 1 year in prison. Catherine Garcia was an assistant to Dr. Jerome Lentini, who ran a younger U clinic in Tigard and another in Salem. During an 11-month period from 2003 to 2004, Lentini and Garcia ordered 41,500 units of a substitute and only 300 units of actual Botox.
I can't believe it's not Botox. Stabbed him in the winky.
Stabbed him in the winky.
This email says, Skip Stevenson died of a heart attack at his home at age 52. He is buried near his parents at the Holy Sepulchre.
Sepulveda.
Not Sepulveda. No, that's in California. Yeah. Now, what is this word? This is a word, as a Catholic, I should know this. This is a word that you see a lot, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, yeah.
Sepulchre. S-E-P-U-L-C-H-R-E. I've seen that word so many times as a Catholic, but I don't know what it means.
It's a dying religion. It doesn't matter.
In Omaha. Buried in Omaha. Okay, John Davidson, alive. TV personality. Hosted That's Incredible, among other things. There are no other things. Current age, 64. By the way, David Ellis, who directed Snakes on a Plane, yes. You may remember him from such films as Homeward Bound 2.
Oh.
There you go. Let's welcome now to the... let me find my... welcome now to the Rick Emerson program, doing a thing... where some stuff happens, and then, let's see,
keeping helping of Betty White's heart.
Not right. Mm-hmm. All right, Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
I got nothing to say after that.
I'm sorry. I mean, to throw you off your game, sir.
You were doing great. I thought Tim was going to get to that last story. You didn't get the Clown Watch.
I'm sorry.
You got the Snuff Watch, the Darwin Watch, Storm, the director David Ellis, the Week in Geek, Dennis Bonaducci, and the Don and Mike.
That's more than what you usually get.
Though. Really? Seriously? I mean, I think at this point I ought to get credit. I think this should no longer be a pass-fail course. I think I ought to start being graded on a curve at this point, which is really, by my own standards, that is almost flawless. Mm-hmm. It really is fantastic, according to my own terribly, terribly low benchmark. Hello.
No comment.
Yes, yeah, well, 7 out of 8.
Hear me in the back. All right. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's like horseshoes. That ought to be enough for a pass right there, I think.
Yeah, you know what? That's Sarah is the bookie on this one. I'm just the mediator. So
Sarah,
that's fine.
Ah, fantastic. All right, excellent. That tone in her voice indicating that she doesn't really care at this point. So there you go. So we're gonna call that good for today.
So that's another question. You're at 46.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, sir. There you go. Mailman Chris.
Good night.
There you go. The Rick Emerson Radio Show. The motto is good enough. This email says, holy cow. Rick, who really says that? Has it been that long? 5 years. Holy crap, I'm old. You can just shave years. Don't worry about it. I started listening to the show on a 420 bong fest. I don't believe
as
we ever...
many have.
I don't believe we ever had a bong fest.
Well, not sanctioned by us.
I don't really know what this is about. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Yada, yada. I'm just reading all of these planes, trains, and automobiles emails that are coming in very late. Rick, have you thought about putting somebody in a garbage can full of live snakes? No, I haven't, nor shall we. So there you go. Thanks. Thanks a lot, though. And so forth. All these Skip Stevenson emails. No time. Big grains of salt. Don't forget, we're going to be at Dante's tonight, Rockstar Supernova, when it all goes terribly wrong. Be there. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Jim Roop. Also, Dennis Pitzenbacher from the Portland Tribune and so forth. Tomorrow, Jen Lane will be here, Rockstar Recap. And, of course, we will be giving away tickets to Snakes on a Plane tomorrow. We want to thank David Ellis, director of Snakes on a Plane, for being with us. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley in the newsroom, Scotty J. More Than an Intern, and manager of Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. We'll see you all tomorrow at noon. Don't go anywhere. Bye.
Uba Shabayat. Uba Shabayat.